for any questions because we have a debate, and I'm really proud tonight to introduce our moderator for today's debate is Wake Up Montana's Becky Hillier. Becky.
Okay, very good evening to all of you. The time now is 6:53, and since we're starting straight up at 7 p.m., we've got about, I'm bad at math, but I think 7 minutes or so, roughly 7 minutes, before we actually kick off the live broadcast. As Daryl said, I would just like to reiterate, it's great to see such a healthy crowd here to support your candidates, but we do want to stress that each candidate is here to answer questions. And we want to hear from the candidates. Love that you're here to support them, but every second that you cheer or boo or hiss takes a second away from your candidate answering the question. So Daryl's kind of playing bad cop, but I have to reinforce bad cop as well because I'm a mom and I'm from Miles City, and I will enforce that time. So I don't have a problem doing that. So we just want respectful civility tonight. Remember, this is being televised live, and it's great to have such a big crowd. Any chance that any of us, all of us, could just join hands and sing Kumbaya? Any chance of that at all? Had to ask. All right. So it is 6:54. We've got about 6 minutes. I'm just going to step off stage. We'll come back out a couple minutes before we actually start, and then I'll read my formal introduction, and we'll also ask, I'm going to ask you this now, but then I'll also reiterate that in my formal introduction, that you hold your applause until the very end of the debate, again, to maximize the amount of time that each candidate has to answer their question. 90 seconds goes by really, really fast, trust me. So in your effort to be here to support your candidate, please don't end up hurting them by taking that time away from them. Be supportive, but allow them to answer the questions, okay? So I will be right back because I got to take a drink of water.
Thank you. Lost in action. So as long as you're good with IFP, I'm going to follow your lead. So no, okay.
Okay. Okay. We're 2 minutes away. Yep. Okay. We're 2 minutes away. 2 minutes away from the live broadcast. Okay, 1 minute away. One last reminder to silence your phones, please. Or we're going to make you come up here and answer questions if your phone goes off. Now that would be fun, wouldn't it? I'd like that. All right, 30 seconds. Thank you so much for being here for the Montana gubernatorial debate between Democratic incumbent Governor Steve Bullock and his Republican challenger, Greg Gianforte. Tonight's debate is taking place at the Petro Theater on the campus of Montana State University, Billings. This debate is sponsored this evening by the Billings Gazette, Yellowstone Public Radio, and Color 8 Television. It's also being carried live on television on SWX channels statewide, as well as on radio by Yellowstone Public Radio and Northern Broadcasting. I'm Becky Hillier, the anchor of the statewide morning show, Wake Up Montana, and it's my privilege to be the moderator for tonight's debate. I'm here not only to keep time, but also to ensure that each candidate gets an equal shot at the questions they are asked. It's not the quantity of the questions we're concerned about tonight. Rather, it is the quality of the discussion that matters, and I think you can all agree. Both candidates have spent time preparing for this debate, so it is only fair that we allow them to do what they came here to do. We ask this very large and supportive crowd to go ahead and be supportive of your candidate. However, we are here to hear from the candidates, so we ask that you refrain from disruptive behavior or anything that might distract from the candidates. They do have a limited amount of time to address the issues and the questions that are presented to them, and so we want some respectful civility. I think that can be the tone for tonight. We ask that you also hold your applause until the very end of the debate, again, in order to maximize the amount of time that each candidate has to answer the questions that they are being posed this evening. And now it is time to meet our candidates. Governor Steve Bullock was born and raised in Montana. The governor says he's proud of his record of maintaining low unemployment in our state and says he continues working to protect and preserve our state's public lands and streams. Greg Gianforte and his wife Susan raised all four of their children in Montana and started Right Now Technologies in Bozeman, which grew to employ more than 500 people. He's a lifetime member of the NRA and is endorsed by the NRA, the Gun Owners of America, and the Montana Shooting Sports Association. Welcome, candidates.
Thank you.
Now, each candidate will be asked a question from one of our panelists and will have 90 seconds to answer. Once the candidate has completed his answer, the next candidate will answer the same question, and there are no rebuttals. We'll just let that sink in for a few seconds. No rebuttals. Each candidate will also have a 90-second opening statement. And now it's time to meet our panelists for this evening. The three panelists who will take turns asking questions this evening are Tom Lutie, a reporter with the Billings Gazette, Jackie Yamanaka, the news director of Yellowstone Public Radio, and Greg Lamont, anchor of Color 8 News at 5, 6, and 10 in Billings. Now, a coin flip was done earlier this evening, with the winner having a choice of fielding the first question or deferring to his opponent. Greg Gianforte won the coin flip and has decided to go first with his opening statement and questions. So, Mr. Gianforte, go ahead and start with your opening statement.
Okay. Thank you, panelists and audience, and those of you joining us at home. I'm Greg Gianforte, and I'm running to be your next governor. I am a businessman and a job creator, not a career politician. And I'm running for one reason: to create more high-wage jobs in Montana so our kids don't have to leave. I'm also running for Emily and Devin Vincent, who live in Colstrip, have a young family, and for all the families at home tonight who are wondering about where their jobs are going to come from in the future. Unfortunately, today we're 49th in the country in wages, and our kids are leaving, in large part because we have a failed administration in Helena. We've seen layoffs across the state in Columbia Falls and elsewhere. We've seen two consecutive quarters of declining economy. Colstrip is slated to be shut down, and our revenues have fallen off a cliff, and our surplus is gone. We've also had a lack of accountability in state government. The current governor deleted all of his emails when he was attorney general. And the Department of Commerce recently awarded a contract in a rigged process to an outsource firm in Wisconsin, causing jobs to leave the state.
Mr. Gianforte, your time is up.
I just want, just to finish the thought, I'm calling tonight on the governor to ask for the resignation of the Department
okay.
of Commerce.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gianforte, your time
Thank
is
you.
Up. Thank you. Mr. Bullock?
Thanks so much for hosting this event. For those that are viewing this evening, thanks for choosing us over Monday Night Football. You know, every morning my wife and I drop our kids off at the same public schools that we went to. It serves as a daily reminder to me as far as why I do what I do each and every day. Montana was a gift for me growing up. I want to make sure that the next generation has every opportunity and more than I did. And I think we're on the right path. More people are working in Montana than ever before in our state's history. We're number one in the nation for new business startups, entrepreneurial activities, 4 years in a row. Just last week, we heard that Montana leads the nation in median household income. We've certainly taken some good steps, but tonight's really about what Montana's going to look like in the future.
Mr. Bullock, your time is up. He's timing on the sidelines. Is that at
there's
odds
a
with
minute.
The countdown
there
here?
Was no timer there when I started.
Right. That timer did not start, so are we going by your clock, Phil? Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
I apologize for that.
I think there's a minute just watching it, but whatever
yeah.
you need
yeah,
to
I don't,
do.
Yeah, I don't think.
Why don't we give him 30 more seconds to finish, okay? 30 more seconds. We'll get this timing down appropriately, so thank you, Phil, but 30 seconds, Governor. I'm sorry.
So I was saying that there are fundamental differences between my opponent and I. I don't want to be a state where a small group of people actually gets to make the rules to benefit them. I think at the end of the day, our streams and our rivers and our public lands ought to be for the benefit of all of us, not just our checkbook. Who has the largest checkbook? And ultimately, a quality education shouldn't just be for the privileged. We've made great progress. Tonight, I'll be asking for your support for 4 more years to do so.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for being forgiving for that and for the audience as well.
And Becky, do I get my 30 seconds?
I think you took all of your time, Mr. Gianforte. But we have gotten the clock issue ready now, so we're ready to go. All right, asking the first question now that the opening statements are finished. Tom Lutie from the Billings Gazette will ask the first question of Mr. Gianforte.
Yes, Mr. Gianforte. Through the Gianforte Family Foundation, you have spent $1.7 million on groups like Montana Family Foundation, Focus on the Family, groups that oppose abortion, gay marriage, as well as non-discrimination ordinances in local communities. What would you tell Montanans worried that their civil rights are at risk if you're elected?
Well, Tom, Susan and I raised our four kids in Bozeman. We've been incredibly blessed, and we've prospered here in Montana. I'm a Christian, and I believe my faith calls me to share the blessing I've received. That's why we've been generous with charities all over the state, because we want to help and improve other people's lives. And that's a lot of reason why I'm running, because Montana does not have enough high-wage jobs. We started a little business in our home in Bozeman, and it grew to be the largest commercial employer there. And the message I would send to all Montanans is, too many of our kids have had to leave, and my sole purpose for running is to create jobs so we can keep our kids back here in Montana and they can prosper.
All right, thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Did that answer your question, Tom?
No.
Okay.
Maybe next
time. Another point of this is we do have the discretion to ask follow-up questions to have the candidate clarify their answer. So could you clarify that a little bit more, Mr. Gianforte? What would you tell Montanans who are worried their civil and constitutional rights are at risk if you're elected? Can you address that directly?
Well, I sort of feel like it's an attack on our Christianity and our core base. I would say that our First Amendment is very clear. It supports freedom of speech and freedom of religion for all Montanans, and I would defend that right for every single Montanan.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gianforte. And then the same question to you, Governor. What would you tell Montanans about their civil and constitutional rights if you're reelected?
Yeah, I think Montana is a state where we want every single individual to thrive. Now, ultimately, my opponent, when there was a non-discrimination ordinance in Bozeman, actually said businesses would be more likely to locate there if they could discriminate. This isn't just a values issue, this is an economic issue. My opponent also helped fund the group in North Carolina that passed his House Bill 2. $385 million impact to the community of Charlotte alone. Just last week, NCAA, ACC, both decided they're not coming ultimately to North Carolina. This is not what we need. From my perspective, this is not an attack on faith. This is an attack on, this is a discussion, the values you'd bring in this office. And you can see the values that I hold and bring in this office because you've had 8 years to see this. At the end of the day, we don't build a greater Montana by tearing some people down.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bullock. And the next question is from Jackie.
Should students and faculty be allowed to carry firearms on Montana University System campuses? Should public school teachers be allowed to carry firearms in their classrooms?
You know, I think in Montana, we use our guns for both protection and for our public lands. And if my opponent was being honest on this, in my 8 years in public service, our Second Amendment rights have actually expanded in Montana, not been limited. As Attorney General, I brought Montana to the United States Supreme Court in that decision that actually recognized our Second Amendment as an individual right. The NRA called me courageous. I've worked with the legislature to make sure that you can protect your home and your property by passing the Castle Doctrine. And if you're a concealed weapon permit holder, I've actually streamlined the process, passed legislation to make sure that your identity is protected. But I've never abandoned common sense. When local law enforcement officers who protect our communities come to me and say a bill or a proposed law on my desk might end up causing their both concerns for them, their safety, and their community, I listen. I'll always keep common sense, but by the same token, I'm not going to abandon our local law enforcement officers. That's not what Montana needs. So those are the vetoes that I had. I stand by law enforcement, and nobody's going to take your guns away.
Okay, Governor. And the same question posed to Mr. Gianforte. Should students or faculty be allowed to carry firearms on Montana University System campuses? Should public school teachers be allowed to carry firearms?
Well, I want to say very clearly, I'm a strong defender of the Second Amendment. And unfortunately, we're hearing from a rhetoric from a career politician who is no friend of gun owners. I've been endorsed by the NRA. I've been endorsed by the Gun Owners of America. And I've been endorsed by the Montana Shooting Sports Association. My opponent vetoed six gun rights bills in the last two sessions. I believe the Second Amendment is very clear. It says our right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And I think that's very clear, and I would defend the Constitution on that.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Gianforte. The next question is from Greg Lamont with Color 8 to Mr. Gianforte.
When it comes to asking for the trust of voters, you want to be the leader of our state. You want to travel representing our state. You would agree that you are representing a state where there is a very strong sense of family values, a deep sense of morality. Having said that, and knowing this is certainly an issue that's made its way onto national politics, have you ever been involved in an extramarital affair?
I have not. And I will say that Susan and I have been married 28 years. We've raised our four children in Bozeman. And those relationships are precious. And it's for the families all over Montana that I'm running. I think family is critically important. It's the building. It's the bedrock of our society. And this is why we, you know, unabashedly support family. And I love my four kids. I'm working in large part so that we can put families back together. This is why I promoted telecommuting as a way to bring families back to Montana and bring our kids back together. In many communities, when I ask, how many of you have kids that no longer live in the state, often 70 or 80% of the hands go up. And ultimately, that's why it's driving. We need a stronger economy. Jobs and opportunity are only created there, and that'll be my focus. We'll put families back together.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Mr. Bullock?
Yeah, I have not. My wife, Lisa, we first met when we were in high school and just recently celebrated. Fortunately, I think we bumped into each other about 15 years after high school. She went to Central School. I was a Smith Sabre at grade school. We just celebrated our 17th anniversary a week ago yesterday, and we have a 14, 12, and almost 10-year-old child.
All right. Thank you, Governor. We'll go back to Tom Lutey from the Billings Gazette, asking a question of Mr. Bullock.
Governor, in appointing your first Lieutenant Governor, John Walsh, to the U.S. Senate in 2014, you said, and I quote, "I wanted to appoint someone who I believed would represent the values Montanans hold important." And as we all know, 6 months later, a plagiarism scandal at the War College ended Walsh's political career. It was the second time you vouched for Walsh's character, the first being when you chose him as your potential replacement to run the state. What should this episode teach Montanans about your judgment?
Yeah, I certainly didn't know everything about that. John Walsh had served our state and our nation well. I think that probably both many people in the audience, as well as these two opponents, have never had like their Humvee blown up by an IUD. So I certainly respect the service that he had. IED. Never know. Certainly respect his service to our nation.
Okay.
Now, but at the end of the day, look, and from my perspective, a lieutenant governor can be an incredible part of a team. John Walsh served both our state and our nation well. He continues to serve our nation well. I'm excited about Mike Cooney. Mike Cooney's doing a lot of work with me on our Main Street Montana project, where we're bringing about 250 businesses together to continue to advance this economy and have him working on it on a regular basis. Yeah, sure, 20,000 jobs created in the first 4 years. We know that there's more to do. JP Morgan said we're the most fiscally prudent state in the country. We know that there's more to do. Through the Main Street Project, we're also really trying to focus on making sure that all those employers have a pipeline of talent and trained workers along the way.
All right. Thank you, Governor. And Mr. Gianforte, I guess we could phrase that question to you. What could Montanans expect from you as far as vetting people for different positions in your administration?
Well, leadership is critically important. And I think it's a sign of leadership to be able to pick leaders well. Unfortunately, my opponent is on his third lieutenant governor. Unfortunately, Lieutenant Governor Walsh had to resign in disgrace over the plagiarism. And then there was an issue with his second lieutenant governor where we haven't ever gotten a full explanation as to what happened. There was a meeting, and clearly she was forced out, but I don't think we've gotten a clear explanation. This, I think leadership is about accountability. We've also, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we've recently had a commerce contract outsourced to a firm out of state and given to a family member. And I think it's important we bring accountability and fiscal responsibility back to the state government. I'm calling on the governor tonight to call for the Department of Commerce's director's resignation, because I think we need to bring accountability back to state government. He talked about being fiscally prudent. And, well, Governor, balancing the budget is your job. It's a constitutional requirement. That's not a miraculous achievement. You've increased spending at the state level by over $800 million, and our surplus is gone. I think fiscal responsibility and leadership are critically important in Montana.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. The next question from Jackie to Mr. Gianforte.
If the Montana legislature sent you a bill to allow the citizens of a Montana community to vote on a local option sales tax or expand the existing resort tax for larger communities, what action would you take?
Yeah, Jackie, this one of the things I've learned, I've now driven over 50,000 miles all over the state, and one of the great joys has been staying in people's homes, sitting around the kitchen tables and talking. And as I visited with county commissioners, I've learned the way we fund local governments is not working. That's why I'm thrilled that Leslie Robinson is joining me on my ticket as lieutenant governor. She's a fourth generation Montanan and a county commissioner in Phillips County. We have county courthouses that are leaking. We have infrastructure. We need to find ways to fund these. I will say, though, I don't think you tax your way to prosperity. Too much local tax has gone to Helena and has not come back out. It's almost like we have a bubble. And we need to work to find ways to help fund local municipalities through infrastructure funding and other mechanisms. I don't think you get there with more taxes, though.
So is that a veto?
I'd have to see the bill, but I'm generally opposed to new taxes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Governor Bullock?
Yeah, and hopefully we'll certainly get to some of the statements that my opponent made in his last question soon. But if he wants to talk about outsourcing, Forbes said that his company took outsourcing to a new level. In his own sort of report to the investors, he said one of the biggest drivers of his business was outsourcing. And indeed, his CFO said that they outsourced 700 jobs to other states, Armenia and India. So I'm more than happy to talk about those contracts. To your specific question, though, about a local option sales tax, I've been consistent throughout my career that I'm against a general state sales tax, period. And that won't happen on my watch. Now, I recognize even last legislative session, the Billings Chamber of Commerce, that was their number one priority to say, could they get a local option sales tax and allow then the citizens of Billings to put a vote on that? I've consistently in my two legislative sessions said, you know, I want to see a bill actually get to my desk, go through the process before I'm going to say, for the most part, darn it, I'm going to veto it or sign it. That one didn't even get out of the committee. So as I actually said to the Billings Gazette just last week, I think they have a lot of work to do before that's even a discussion. I think a good piece of it, though, is that ultimately it would be the individuals who would be deciding it, not necessarily the legislature, whether there would be a tax.
Okay, time. Thank you very much, Governor. Greg, the next question for Governor Bullock.
Why should your opponent not be elected?
You know, look, ultimately that's up to the voters. I think we offer a fundamental difference in view. Montana was named the most fiscally prudent state in the country. That's not me talking, that's J.P. Morgan. He would take that, give tax breaks to millionaires and out-of-state corporations. We'd end up with no, you're right, no rainy day fund, because not even base infrastructure, education, or other things could be paid for. I believe we should be an inclusive state. My opponent has actually said businesses would be more likely to locate here if they could discriminate. We have fundamental difference in values when it comes to our American Indians. Almost 10% of our population. You don't build Montana up by leaving our first Montanans behind. We have fundamental different views on what the role of government can be. I think government can actually work with the private sector and create some real opportunities. And I guess I'm not sure what he thinks the role of government ought to be, as he's running to be actually the state's chief executive. So I think that there are some real differences across the board. But it's up to the voters. I'm pleased with many of the things that we've been able to get done. I'm pleased that we've made record investments in education but seen record results. I'm pleased that we're the number one state in the country when it comes to new businesses. Those are some of the things that I want to continue working on.
All right. Thank you, Governor. And the same question for you, Mr. Gianforte.
Well, honestly, this is what you get from a career politician. You get a bunch of lies. And unfortunately, I've learned, this is my first time in politics running for public office. I've always been a business person. And I spent my whole career creating jobs here in Montana. To hear somebody tear that down, it hurts a little bit. But I will say that we've created better outcomes, and I'm proud of that record. And this, you know, there is a big difference. One thing I agree with the governor on, there's a big difference between our outlook. I believe that jobs and opportunity are created in the private sector, not by government. And what we need to do is make it easier for individual businesses to start and grow here. Unfortunately today, as I've traveled the state, I've heard from small businesses, they're covered up in regulations. My opponent has vetoed a number of tax reduction bills that would have put more money back in people's pockets. And our state government has adopted a culture of enforcement rather than customer service. I've been very clear. When I'm elected, I'll appoint new agency heads that have actually walked in the shoes of the people they're trying to serve and bring a culture of customer service back. There is no reason why, with our rich natural resources and work ethic, that we're 49th in the country in wages, except that we don't have the right leadership in Helena.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Tom?
Mr. Gianforte, you've proposed eliminating business equipment taxes, which have been crucial to counties like this one, where those taxes make up a sixth of property tax revenue. Schools statewide, which also rely on these taxes, would also take a multi-million dollar hit. How are you going to keep local governments and schools from being burned by your plan?
So, thank you for the question. I rolled out my tax plan back in April, and it's a plan that'll get businesses going. Business equipment tax today represents less than 2% of state revenue. My plan is called 406. It's very simple. The 4 stands for eliminate business equipment tax in 4 years. This is the most regressive tax we have. I had a small business in Livingston make an investment in a new piece of equipment, and that one investment created 20 jobs, and their present from the state was a $300,000 business equipment tax bill over 10 years. That individual said they'd never buy another piece of equipment like that here in the state as long as you have business equipment tax. You asked a very good question, though, Tom. How do we pay for it? Well, we pay for it by slowing the growth of government. So the zero in 406 calls for zero growth in state government and no sales tax. 20% growth in, thank you, 20% growth in the last 3 years alone, over $800 million expansion in state government. If we just slow the growth, we can easily put this money back in people's pockets. And then the six calls for bringing the top tax bracket down from 6.9, increasing the deduction for lower income families. It's a fiscally responsible and will balance the budget doing it.
Thank you.
Tax Foundation says we have the sixth best overall business tax climate in the nation. My first legislative session working with Democrats and Republicans, we eliminated the business equipment tax for two-thirds of the companies that pay it, gave a cut to all of them. Right now, if his plan came through, Yellowstone County would lose $24 million. Those are dollars that go to That's your fire true. Departments, your schools, other things. That's actually what the business equipment tax is paid for. 9 of the 10 of the community are the companies that pay that business equipment tax. 9 of the 10 biggest are out of state. That covers almost 50% of the overall business equipment tax collected. So we have made real progress along the way. But I don't want to be New Jersey, 8 credit downgradings in 5 years. I don't want to be Kansas, where they ran out of state revenues, literally had to shut their school district down early because they ran out of funding. Don't take my word. J.P. Morgan says we're the most fiscally prudent state in the country. We've also been recognized as the fairest tax system in the country. At the end of the day, you don't build our state up by just giving tax breaks to out-of-state corporations and millionaires.
And the next question comes from Jackie Yamanaka for Governor Bullock.
What's your position on using money from the coal tax trust fund, whether it's from the corpus or from a subtrust, to specifically help the residents of Coal Strip deal with the decline of coal and coal-fired power plants?
Yeah, I think, look, coal is an important part of Montana. It has been, and we need to make sure, not only for the communities, but for the workers and the community, that it continues to be a part. More coal was actually mined in the first 3 years of my administration than on average the past 30 on average each time. And when the Clean Power Plan came out, as my opponent knows because the Billings Gazette called him on it, I said not only was that unfair to Montana, but we ought to sue. And now that suit's going all the way up to the Supreme Court. But what we can't do also is just shout at Washington, D.C. I brought people together, and even 2 weeks ago, brought from coal company CEOs to the mayor of Coal Strip to workers' representatives to utility owners to say, let's make sure that coal is part of our energy future going forward, because we have 28% of the nation's reserves. So we do have to find ways to make sure that that community stays strong. Now, whether we raid the corpus of the Coal Severance Tax Trust, I don't think that's probably a good idea, but finding those funding streams to help that out. And I've actually also worked with the economic development folks lately and saying, let's start to put together a plan to make sure that those communities and the individuals in them know that they're going to have a great future.
Mr. Gianforte, what is your position on using money from the Coal Tax Trust Fund to help Colstrip and its residents?
Well, I've been out to Colstrip five times in the last year. I see Lori Shaw out here from Colstrip United, and I stand with the people of Colstrip. This is a group that's fighting for their livelihoods, and although the governor seems to have changed his recollection, he was nowhere when Attorney General Tim Fox filed suit against the Clean Power Plan. And these outrageous regulations coming out of the EPA are really threatening our natural resources. In terms of using, I do think we ought to be using some of the coal trust funds, particularly to fund infrastructure. This is another area where the governor and I differ although sometimes we differ and sometimes we're on the same page because you keep flip-flopping. But the governor campaigned on infrastructure in 2012 and then vetoed infrastructure funding in 13 and then vetoed it again in 15. And now the exact bill that would have used the coal trust funds to fund it, which he vetoed a year ago, he's pulled out of the trash can, and that's his new idea. The bill from Senator Ripley that would use some of the coal trust funds for infrastructure, I am supportive of, and I would back that.
And Greg has the next question for Mr. Gianforte.
It seems like Colstrip is the elephant in the room. All of the people in this room, adults, can pretty much see handwriting on the wall when it comes to Colstrip. For the purpose of this question, I want you to view me as a 10-year-old from Colstrip, mm-hmm. who sits at the dinner table and hears mom and pop talking about future's not looking so good. So the 10-year-old looks you in the eye and says, under your leadership, do I have a future in Colstrip?
Yes. And it's because we can apply new technology to burn coal cleanly. As governor, I would fight to push back on the federal overreach that is threatening Colstrip. And I'd also work to bring, unfortunately, we've had decisions made by out-of-state firms. There are our refineries right here in Billings. Our mines need reliable, low-cost power. And I'd be working to bring that ownership back into the state so that we could have that long-term, low-cost power in Colstrip. And the other thing I would say to that young person is that the American dream is still alive and well. I go into a lot of high schools and college classrooms, and unfortunately, our young people today are staring at a hill, and they don't know how to get up to the top of it. And I was in Butte a little while back, speaking with Butte Central there. And I asked the students, how many of you, I talked about how don't let anybody ever tell you anything's impossible and that you can prosper in Montana. And you should have seen that group of students come alive and say, Mr. Gianforte, could you tell me how to prosper? Because it's not something they had heard before. So I want to deliver that message of hope to that 10-year-old.
All right.
Yeah, I'd say that 10-year-old, yeah, you do have a future in Montana and in Colstrip. I'd say that 28% of our country's coal reserves are right here in Montana. I'd say to him that long term, we know that coal and other fossil fuels will be part of our energy future. And that's what that meeting was about 2 weeks ago. U.S. Department of Energy, Fossil Fuels Department, with even the coal company CEO saying, we know there's been more technological changes in that kid's lifetime in a cell phone than there has in how we generate power. Why is it that I have to go up to Canada to see Sask Power Boundary Dam project where what they do is actually capture the CO2 and use it for enhanced oil recovery? We have enhanced oil recovery, but we ship it up from Wyoming, the CO2. So I'd say that there are incredible opportunities in this state. Just like people were saying when I was a 10-year-old that there would be incredible opportunities in this state. But how we do it is we bring people together to find the solutions. We know that there are long-term pieces, and we also look at what all of our energy potential is. I put out an energy blueprint that said, look at all the possibilities, wind, solar, others. Difference is I've actually been working on a plan to bring people together. My opponent doesn't have a plan.
Okay, the next question is from Tom to Governor Bullock.
Governor, when fall enrollment numbers are released later this month at the University of Montana, the university expects to have lost 25% of its students in only 6 years, ranking it among the steepest declines of any public research university in the country. The campus has fewer students today than it did when its current students were born. The community of Missoula has lost 200 jobs as a result, and this decline has been overseen by a board that you appoint. What grade would you give the handling of the Montana University system's enrollment situation?
I think
when you look at, there are some great things that are happening in our university system. And if you look at 46 states since the recession, have actually been investing less in higher education, on average 17%. Montana's one of four across, actually, the country that have actually increased our investments. We've frozen college tuition at Missoula, Bozeman, everywhere else, making sure that ultimately we don't raise taxes on families paying that. We've instituted performance funding to say we have metrics and objectives we want to see met. Now, think about what's happened in other states. And this model, well, we'll give tax cuts to the out-of-state corporations, the millionaires. If you look from that period on, the recession to today, Arizona's cut 50% of its state aid to higher education. There's certainly, and that's not where we want to be, or Louisiana, that's cut almost 40%. The way to make sure that we continue to have great job creation is also have great university system all throughout. When it comes to enrollment declines, sure, certainly it is frustrating to Missoula. It's frustrating to others. I wouldn't say, though, that it's a failure of the Board of Regents. I think it's something that we certainly have to pay attention to. But University of Montana, as is all of our university units, 2- and 4-year colleges are so important for the economic drivers of this state.
All right, Mr. Gianforte, what grade do you give their handling of the Montana University System's enrollment situation?
Well, I think better is always possible. And education's an area that I've focused an awful lot of energy. In fact, probably more energy outside of work on education than the other areas. This is why I rolled out my education plan back in May, to help start to connect more closely educational pursuits with job outcomes. It's the reason why I put up the website learn2earnmt.com. And this clearly lists the degrees that are available at U of M, MSU, here at MSUB, and the other campuses. The probability you'll get a job in the state when you graduate, an average starting wage. I think this is a helpful tool to help parents make decisions about what is typically the largest single investment they make in rearing their children. It's also the reason why I believe that computers are here to stay, and we ought to be getting computer science into all the high schools. It's the reason we started Code Montana, and I would push to put computer science in every high school in the state to better prepare our young people for the jobs of the future. And finally, I also think we need more focus on trades education, because our construction, manufacturer, and need skilled labor, and not everyone needs a 4-year degree to succeed. That's why Susan and I started a scholarship program for veterans and lower income Montanans to get these skills.
Jackie has the next question for Mr. Gianforte.
The healthcare bill known as the HELP Act, which included a Medicaid expansion provision, is set to sunset on June 30th, 2019. What is your evaluation of the program so far? Should it be continued?
Yeah, so it's a good question. As I've traveled the state and visited with so many people, healthcare is one of the top 4 issues that come up. And the principle here, I think we need additional study on the plan to decide what we do going forward. It's essential that we preserve quality health care for Montanans. We preserve rural access, but we must get costs down. And that's where my concern focuses, in that we've seen massive increases in rates on the exchanges. This Affordable Care Act is not affordable. And every time we add a new regulation, or add a new tax, or the cost of healthcare goes up, this is another brick in the backpack of every small business owner. And my focus is gonna be maintaining quality, rural access, and bringing costs down. And this is why I formed a committee, and I've been meeting with both our critical care access hospitals and our larger hospitals around the state. We need to bring more pricing transparency to healthcare. We need to have more consumer incentives. And right here in Billings, St. Vincent's introduced doctor on demand. I think technology is part of the solution as well to bring these costs down.
Last legislative session, Democrats, Republicans, local chambers, the state chamber, the medical association, others came together to bring our taxpayer dollars home and pass a real made in Montana solution, which was the HELP Act. Actually, I think the only group that was regularly working against that act and working against many of the Republicans was one of the groups that my opponent funds, Americans for Prosperity. 50,000 Montanans now have health care across the state as a result of the HELP Act. And I've heard from both sides. I've heard from individuals that said, now that I've gotten that operation, I can continue to work. Or literally, my life was saved as a result. And I've also heard from critical access hospitals that have said, you know what, we used to take everybody, they'd come in at the most expensive place, the emergency room, and of course we'd have to take care of them. Now they're actually getting care before, and our hospital's bottom lines are improving. I think we can do innovation, and we've been working on it. In addition, the HELP Act, we brought both the private sector and the public sector to address many of these things. We need to stop paying for repeated tests and pay for outcomes. Montana is now a pilot. We're one of 14 states where we're starting to make that transition. We're a state of 147,000 square miles. We have to make sure to get psychiatric help and other things across the state. We're working on that as well, and recently proposed a plan for price transparency. So there is more that we can do, and we'll do it by bringing folks together.
All right. Thank you, Governor Bullock. Greg Lamont, your question for Governor Bullock.
Governor, as I understand it, DPHHS accounts for 41% of Montana's expenditures, which obviously is a pretty big chunk. I'm also told by those in the know that there is a tremendous amount of mismanagement, duplication, waste, services by various entities within DPHHS that are doing the same, poor communication, poor morale, all leading to a delay in services to the people of Montana and, in some cases, no service. Under your leadership, are you going to do anything?
Well, I think that look, the Department of Public Health and Human Services, there weren't a lot of specifics in that question, Greg. I mean, I can think of one of the challenges has been the way that we actually take care of our most vulnerable kids and child protective services, where even 2 years ago, the case management system was a DOS system. I brought that up in both of my State of the State addresses, saying there has to be additional funding along the way to make sure that we are taking care of our most vulnerable. So we brought together folks from judges to advocates and others, the Protect Montana Kids Commission, to say, all right, let's actually address this and actually also focus so the legislature takes a little bit closer look as well. The Department of Public Health and Human Services deals with some of our most vulnerable populations in so many different areas across the state. I always strive to make government more efficient. I always strive to figure out ways where we can actually even go from department to department. As we were talking about the HELP Act, it's not just DPHHS that administers it. We actually have ties to the Department of Labor as well. So we'll always certainly work to find efficiencies and create better opportunities, not only for all of Montana, but for the vulnerable population served.
Mr. Gianforte?
Well, I think we have tremendous opportunity for improvement. The first step is first who, then what. I think we have dedicated workers at DPHHS and all of our state agencies, but today they're not led well. We have somebody running DPHHS that previously ran DEQ. I'm not sure how that qualified him for that job. We have somebody running the Department of Labor who's never had an employee. I think it would make sense to hire somebody with domain expertise. I've met with individuals who have had children that have not been served well by Child Protective Services. There are gross inefficiencies. It starts with new leadership at the agency, and I'll do that when I'm elected. Now, the governor said there weren't a lot of specifics, but there were some in the paper recently. Auditors at DPHHS have been fired because they blew the whistle on waste and fraud. That's not right. As governor, I will back up those good state workers that identify opportunities for improvement. And in the last comment the governor made, he talked about this great bipartisanship relationship he's brought together in Helena. Unfortunately, that doesn't line up with the truth, because he's vetoed more bills than any governor in the history of the state. I don't call that bipartisanship.
Our next question is from Tom for Mr. Gianforte.
Yes, Mr. Gianforte. You have said you feel we have a moral obligation to help refugee families torn apart by radical Islamic terrorists, but you also oppose the resettling of unvetted refugees. Where is the obligation of which you speak to help? Because it sounds like you're proposing we don't do anything.
Yeah, so you've quoted me correctly. I think as a nation, we've always been a giving nation, and we serve many places. But we have to recognize that the number one responsibility of the governor is to protect the health and safety of the citizens here in the state. We are at war with radical Islamic terrorism. And just this past weekend, we saw three attacks on our soil, a knifing in Minnesota, and two explosions in New York and New Jersey. Even Obama's head of the CIA, John Brennan, has said radical Islamic terrorists are using refugee programs to infiltrate our country. 31 states have taken steps to not settle refugees in their communities. Again, I think we have an obligation to help, but it does not include settling them here in our communities. And I would defend the safety of Montana citizens from unvetted refugees.
Governor Bullock.
As a governor and a father, the safety and security of our communities and our state is paramount. And I don't just say that in the abstract. As the Attorney General, as the state's chief law enforcement officer, not only did I deal with some of the most heinous crimes, but I did have to sit down with families whose child were murdered. I understand people's concerns. And let me be clear, there will be no unvetted refugees coming to Montana, period. But I think we also need to understand, and I'm not sure that my opponent fully understands the role of governor. You also have to take responsible tact. Look at what's happened in other states. Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, said, there won't be, you know, I'm going to get the state completely out of refugee business. They shut down any state dollars going to refugee relocation. Guess what? Syrian refugees are still coming to New Jersey. Chris Christie and law enforcement just don't know where they are. That's not responsible leadership.
Okay, Jackie, your question for Governor Bullock.
During the 2015 legislative session, numerous Montana University system and public school officials testified about substandard electrical wiring, crumbling roofs. I could go on and on, but I won't. What is the responsibility for the state to support these buildings, or will distance learning and technology make these types of educational buildings obsolete?
Well, I think that we gathered Montana State University Billings, where our first legislative session, at least $10 million was dedicated to the Science Center, if another $5 million was created. You can't have safe and good communities if you don't have clean water, sewer, schools, roads, and businesses won't want to locate there. And that's why I do have a plan for infrastructure, and it's not the one I vetoed. You know, actually, last legislative session, we brought Democrats and Republicans together. It was chaired by John Brendan from Scobey, Montana, the former Republican Party chair. It died on the last vote day of the legislature by one vote. One vote where folks talked about making sure that I don't get a win in Helena. This isn't about wins and losses in Helena.
This is about our communities. This is about our university systems. And yes, I do think that the state has an obligation, just like other infrastructure, to fund some of it. It can't all be put on the private sector if these are our public universities. Have a plan, $200 million. I'm picking up exactly where we left off with Senator Brendan and saying, let's actually do a responsible mix of cash and bonding. And what he talks about is another bill that was vetoed. It wouldn't have created any jobs. Nothing would have happened over the next, this two-year period. But the idea of a trust, so a decade from now, you don't have political folks talking about it, and there's actually money. We're not playing politics with base infrastructure. I think the Build Montana Trust, which is part of the proposal, is an important piece.
Thank you, Governor. Mr. Gianforte, what is the responsibility for the states to support these buildings?
It's a core responsibility of government to provide for infrastructure. It's not gotten done under this current governor. You know, he had an opportunity in the 13th session and in the 15th session, and it just didn't get done. I think about the families, particularly those on fixed income, who are struggling to make monthly payments on water bills, and I think there has to be a priority of infrastructure. And it starts with water, bridges, roads, and sewer. I've been out in eastern Montana, I think, 25 times in the last year. And boy, it seems like eastern Montana has been forgotten by Helena. There's a lot more we can do here. And part of the problem is that my opponent is really, let me say it this way. What we need to pay for infrastructure is a strong economy. I've spent my entire career creating jobs so that people can prosper. And no matter what the good thing is we want, whether it's education, infrastructure, healthcare, we need a strong private sector so that we have a tax base to pay for it. And yet we've made it extremely difficult for small business people to get started and grow a business here in Montana. And that'll be my focus when elected.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Now we've come to the time in the evening where we have one final question left. Greg, that is for you to ask of Mr. Gianforte, and a quick change because of timing purposes. You will each have 1 minute to answer the question. 1 minute, and we'll start with Mr. Gianforte. Greg?
Another one of those handwriting on the wall kind of questions. As we look to the future of Montana and we see the decline going on currently in the Bakken, we see the future of coal uncertain given coal strip situation. The financial stability of the state is starting to look a little grim as you think we're going to lose hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars. So what is a realistic remedy for that loss of that kind of money?
Well, you ask exactly the right question, Greg, because we need a strong economy so we have a tax base. It includes responsible development of natural resources. Unfortunately, my opponent talked about Colstrip and what a fan of coal he is. However, the exact people that sued to shut down Colstrip have funded his campaign, board members at MEIC and the Sierra Club. We've also seen federal overreach that's constricted our natural resources. I would fight to get them going again. His Department of DEQ hasn't issued a new mining permit. They haven't gotten one in over 20 years. We can responsibly develop natural resources. That's number one. Secondly, agriculture is our number one industry in the state. We need to do more with value added. I'm thrilled that we started the whole technology revolution here in the state, and we've created, there are close to 300 high-tech jobs creating. It's an all-of-the-above strategy in the private sector.
Thank you, Mr. Gianforte. Governor Bullock.
Just briefly on the contributions, I've received contributions from 7,500 Montanans. You also know that I've received contributions from coal company CEOs. We'll continue to work with everybody. You know, he's continually betting against Montana. The fifth fastest growing GDP in the nation right here in Montana. Fourth year in a row, most business startups. And 350 biotech companies across the state. We have incredible growth in so many sectors, and we support it
actually, we continue to build upon it by also investing in public education, a great equalizer, something that my opponents called monopoly, and groups that he works with has called it immoral. We continue to do work with our 2- and 4-year colleges to make sure that the pipeline of talent and trained workers are available for any employer that wants to come here and build opportunities. And there are great opportunities here in Montana, and I'm pleased about that.
Thank you, Governor. And that concludes our debate tonight. So I want to take this moment to thank both of our candidates for taking the time to join us this evening. Thank you very much, and for watching the clock so closely as well. You made it a little easier for me. We want to thank our panel for their time in researching the topics for this evening's questions as well. We also want to thank, of course, MSUB for hosting the debate this evening. And finally, thank all of you for being here tonight, for taking the time to learn more about the candidates and the issues, and for following directions pretty darn well. I appreciate that. So for the Billings Gazette, Yellowstone Public Radio, Color 8, and Wake Up Montana, I'm Becky Hillier, wishing you all a good night. Thank you.